When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kid to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
You want to hear a story?
Yep.
Okay, I'll tell you a story. This happened to me 2 days ago. I guess this is kind of like my true crime confession. This is like...
See this? Drinking a beer?
This is like the... Yeah, I'm drinking a wine. One wine is what I'm doing tonight.
I'm doing one beer, one beer.
Yeah. Yeah, when you get to our age, you got to cut out the bullshit. I used to work for a animal rights group that begins with P, but I won't say what it was.
Penis.
We used to have a shirt that said it had the word vegetarian on it. And it like had like a line through the letters that were like E-T-A-R-I.
Vegan.
And then it said, cut out the bullshit. Yeah. That's pretty aggressive.
That's how I feel about my vices mostly now.
Yeah.
As I've aged.
Yeah. So that's how I feel about one wine, one water. I know that like one wine, one water is like a symbol of our podcast, you know, and like people use it. But now the new one wine, one water is just one wine, one wine. Cut out the bullshit. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
This is my like true crime confession. This is like, you're like, it's like what I expected to be saying to the cop.
Oh, okay.
It's what I expected to be saying to the cop.
Dear Penthouse.
As this story happened. No, it's not like that. Like, it's more like, get that mic in front of your face, buddy.
I was about to lean. That was a good instinct, but I was actually getting ahead of you.
Okay.
Because I was moving it down away from my face because I was about to lean in.
Okay, that's fine.
And that's who was that? Marissa
Tomei.
Lean in was
Sheryl Sandberg.
Myers, Marissa Myers.
Okay.
That's okay. Why I moved the mic in.
You're
a
leaning
bit.
In. Feminist icon Tanner Greenring is leaning in to hear
leaning
my
in.
True crime confession.
Yeah.
Listen, this is what I thought I'd be saying to the cop. This is to titillate you. I haven't even told the story.
Oh, you know how much I like fighting with cops.
Okay, but I didn't yet. Well, that's kind of a spoiler, but this is what I expected to be saying. Anyway, so me and, you know who Lewis is? You know Lewis?
The little one?
This like half of Cyril.
Yeah, I haven't seen him super recently, but last time I did see him, he wasn't much of a guy yet. He was sort of just like a baby.
So this
he's
dude,
getting there. He's like on his way.
This dude is a guy.
He's got guy energy.
He's a guy now.
Yeah, okay.
So Lewis and I are out like in the fucking world, just two bros like broing the fuck down. And I'm like, Lewis, let's go to the grocery store and let's go get a new car. Huh, I'm realizing there's probably a lot I need to explain there. Let me see. Okay, here's how
it
works.
I was with you, and then like I hit a couple roadblocks, or like I hit a, like road bumps, but I was like, okay, I'm okay. Like, I'm keeping up, but then like I hit too many road bumps, you know?
Okay.
I'm just like, okay, now I'm pretty far behind.
All right, here's the thing. Lewis is named Lewis, but in his old daycare...
That I understand.
In the early days, the daycare people called him Lulu.
Okay.
And we were like, don't call my son Lulu. His name is Lewis. But
yeah,
it somehow like infected our whole family. And so we started calling him Lulu, even though that's like not what we fucking named him. And it's not
that
necessarily
sucks.
What
that
I want to
call him. That absolutely sucks that you did not get to choose your son's like nickname.
But we called him Lulu. And then this is where it gets worse. Lulu recently has started like speaking like somewhat effectively, but like, you know, like C-.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like an idiot baby.
So when Lulu refers to himself, he says Nunu. So now we call him Nunu.
Okay. And that's one of the, that's actually one of the first speed bumps I hit.
Yeah.
And not, and I was like, I'm going to hit this one at speed.
Yeah. You just like, your car is like up in the air. You like got full air.
Yeah. But like, maybe he just means new.
Yeah.
They're going to go to the grocery store and get a new car.
No, we're going to get a Nunu car. And a Nunu car, and this is a thing that like only dads and moms know. So you know this, but some grocery stores, like they'll have your run of carts, but that's for like basic people. For real, the real heads.
Yeah. Wow.
You have a cart that is like made to look like a real car that has like a little steering wheel in it. You ever see this? You never seen this?
You're like Jay Leno. Let me say, can I use a
Yeah, you can, but I just want to put a pin in the fact that I have barely even begun to start this story. I just want folks,
can I use a creative technique
yeah.
back at you to try to yeah. understand what you're talking about?
Yeah.
There are two tiers of cars at both grocery stores and drug stores.
Yeah.
There is And I think here's where we're sort of at a crossroads is I think of one tier of cars as the superior tier and one is the inferior tier. And I think you and I have those inverted.
Okay.
Because we go to visit the aisle and we find the Hot Wheels and the Matchboxes and we're like,
no.
Great. Here's, hey.
Yeah.
I'm repeating back to you what you said to me.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got
we
you.
We get to yeah, the yeah. aisle and we say, here are the Hot Wheels and Matchboxes. Great, the gold standard.
But
and then we look
off.
We cast our eyes over and we see this like kiosk, like a Lazy Susan or like,
oh, yeah,
like a little
shit.
Like box,
yeah, yeah.
like little box setup that
yeah,
has
yeah.
these
they're big, little
slightly
Porsches
larger, like
yeah,
one,
I know exactly
one
what
by 44
about.
Scale.
Yeah, but you're way off.
Okay.
You're so far off that it's like, we're not even on the same planet of what we're talking about.
Okay.
Like, I know what you're saying.
Great.
But
this is what the exercise yeah. was exactly
okay.
for. Thank yeah. you.
Okay. What I mean by a Nunu car is a grocery cart.
I understand. And
that
it's
is shaped
like
a car.
The car. Yep. We got yeah. those two. Stop and Shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can get the one where they like sit facing you.
We don't call them Nunu cars here.
You don't call them Nunu cars
that
out of
hasn't
Connecticut?
Made it up here yet.
Okay.
Nope.
Well, we call them Nunu cars down here.
Let me ask you a question about yeah. your Stop and Shop real quick.
Okay, sure. I will say again, just a flag for you and the listeners, I have not even begun
the
story.
Sorry, yeah. 1 second. I have to ask Jamie a quick question.
Okay, perfect.
Jamie. Hey, Jamie. Oh, I don't actually, I think she went to bed or something.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Our Stop and Shop.
Yeah.
Sorry, we have several. Humble break.
Yeah.
The one we usually go to.
Okay.
Has a robot.
Okay.
Yeah. Does yours have a robot?
No, we don't fuck around with that. What we have are these carts that it's like a regular grocery cart.
I know the carts.
They're all different in the different shops.
This I know one, the car carts.
At the front of the grocery cart. It's like not
it's
the cart
car.
Looks like a cart, but at the front, it's a whole like addition to it. That's
I
a
know.
Car with a little steering wheel, and he gets in, and he like it looks like he feels to him like he's steering the car.
I love that for Lewis, and I love that you guys have rebranded yeah. that the Nunu car. We will call yeah. that the Nunu car now here and see if it catches on in
yeah.
Connecticut.
It's a good name for it.
Let me tell you about the robot.
Okay, are you sure you don't want to hear like the next like the. You know, like this
just
is the
really
prologue,
quickly,
like chapter one of the story. Like,
really quickly, let me
okay,
tell you about
yeah.
the robot.
Sure.
And we do have a film to discuss.
We have a movie we watched that we liked.
The robot at the Stop and Shop.
Yeah.
If you had to guess what the, so it's about my height.
Okay.
It is shaped like a, I guess if you took like the piston head out of a engine, would you
okay.
know what that looks like?
Sure. Yeah.
A big round bottom with sort of a flat thing sticking out.
Yeah, got,
and
I'm,
the
I'm
team at
it.
Stop and Shop, God bless them, have put big googly eyes on it.
That rules, yeah.
And they put a little docking station right by the front door, and they gave it like a little, they zhuzhed it up so it looks like it's this little house.
Okay.
And I think his name might be Robbie.
Okay.
What would you think the purpose of like a large piston-shaped like gray plastic robot in a grocery store is?
Maybe it's pointing to the like cheese aisle or something.
No, its sole purpose is to walk around and look for spills, and then if it sees one, it
okay.
puts up like an alert on the loudspeaker
alert.
And says
alert.
Like Robbie the robot has found a spill. Please come to like aisle
four. So it's like some fucking narc, basically. Yeah, okay, fine.
Doesn't that seem... that it feels very, like, Connecticut to me, to have a robot to, like, sit and narc on spills.
It feels very 1984 to me. This is exactly what George Orwell was warning us about.
Miles loves him. He, yeah. Honestly, we have car carts. That's what we call them.
Okay. And I'll call it a new car.
Interest in car carts waned pretty quickly when we realized that there was a robot worth, like, hunting and stalking in the grocery store. Every time we were there.
Yeah, that tracks.
Where is he?
Okay, you want to hear chapter one of the story?
Okay, so you've set me up with the prologue. We're at Stop and Shop. We're in the Nunu cart.
We got a Nunu car. Nunu's excited about it. He's in the Nunu car with this little steering wheel. He's driving around. Okay, spoiler for the listener. I'm actually the one who's fucking pushing the fucking car.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, he's not. It looks like he's driving it.
How old is he?
Two and a half. Looks like he's driving it, but it's not him. It's me doing all the work. And the thing about our place is that it's pretty narrow aisles, and these things, like, it's actually essentially impossible to navigate them with a Nunu car. Like, it can't be done. It shouldn't be done.
That's probably why you guys don't. You guys sound like
you're just like bumping into everybody. Yeah.
One of the old Stop and Shops.
Yeah.
We got a couple of those around here, too. Those would not handle a robot well.
I'm driving this Nunu car around. We get to the tofu aisle. And guess who gets out of the Nunu car?
Ooh.
It's not like a trick question.
Really good question.
Yeah.
Who would possibly be getting out?
Who would you expect? Picture this. You're like sitting in, you're a bystander. You're standing in the tofu aisle. You like see a Nunu car pull up. It's like
Kim
Jay
Kardashian?
Leno's limo. No, it's Nunu.
Okay.
He just like gets out. He's sick of, because he likes driving it. He didn't like me like picking like what like fucking like softness of tofu I was most interested in.
What was it this week?
It's always there extra firm, baby.
There's sometimes you want, like, you know what I think of?
Again, chapter one has just started, but
and
yeah.
Let me pull you off for just a second. In a little cul-de-sac here. You know what I think of when I think of tofu textures? I agree, 100%. All I want is extra firm, except every now and then I want that extra silky.
Oh, yeah.
And I want it for that experience of
that,
like,
mouth when, feels just melts
when they
mouth.
Give you the noodles at Tasty Hand-Pulled Noodles and that little, like, gelatinous, sloppy pile of tofu. That's what I want sometimes.
Yeah, that's nice. It falls apart. You
I don't
want to
chew,
expert.
You know?
Nunu gets out of the Nunu car in the tofu aisle, and I'm like, okay, well, this asshole got out of his fucking Nunu car, but I'm going to continue selecting the tofu while he, like, peruses the broccoli aisle.
Deepest apology to Robin Swearcord and Karen Joy Fowler, whose movie and book we watched this week.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about it. I didn't expect this to be taking quite so much time. I don't take total responsibility for it, but
you should. It's your segment. It's your story.
It's my segment. He wanders away, and I'm like trying to go get him, but I have to navigate around the Nunu car to get him. And it's like blocking the whole aisle.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This thing is fucking huge.
Do you ever think about just going Baby Driver and just taking command of the Nunu car and using that to like
get in myself?
Yeah.
Shit, we gotta hustle. Nunu, get over to the side. I'm driving.
That'd be rad, man.
Yeah.
If I was walking around Stop and Shop and I saw a dad in the Nunu car with his 2-year-old, hell yeah. That guy's got it figured out.
Anyway, so this dude walks, is wandering away. I'm like slowly walking after him. He's wandering through the entrance to our grocery store has like a security barrier. You can come in, but you can't go out. And there's a security barrier.
Wow, where do you fucking live? Jesus.
That's just what happens. It's important to the story. And so I'm like not stressed about it.
Ours is like
the
an
entrance.
Open, free flowing marketplace of ideas.
Yeah, and that's how they do
with
shit
robots,
in Connecticut. Yeah,
and car carts.
But we're in the great state of New York, and that's not how we do it. I'm slowly walking towards this child, and somebody has the audacity to come into the grocery store, which means that the door to the entrance is open, and What do you know?
Oh, he could Jason Bourne.
We got a runner.
Yeah.
He's
in the wind.
Look this up. I didn't know this was a thing. It's a thing. Some kids are runners.
Oh, they're just like, they're just runners. They just see a wide open space and they're just like.
So this dude like goes from like wandering in the aisles to like booking it into the fucking parking lot.
Good. Let him be free.
Not in a parking lot. I'm a runner
too.
That's
tricky.
Actually,
You've been a runner.
What's the running man lingo? They're called, shit, I should know this.
Gladiators?
No. In Running Man, you've got your runners.
Yeah, and then you've got your hunters, but the hunters are called like...
Stalkers. I'm a stalker.
Stalkers.
Okay, so I'm like Fireball, you know, I'm...
Yeah, yeah. One of them was like a
Sub-Zero.
Gladiator.
Yeah.
Who was that guy? He was my favorite. He's like covered in lights.
He's
Remember
called
him?
Like Cap... Oh, no, that's not... He's called...
Dynamo.
Dynamo. Yeah. He's awesome. He dies pretty bad. Anyway, I'm a stalker. I like fucking like fully freaking out now because he's about to run into the parking lot. He's not like that savvy about like being in parking lots. It's something that comes with age.
You know, mine's like going to be 5 in a couple weeks and he's not even all that savvy about it. Sometimes he'll just like charge out into a parking lot head first. It's like, all right, man, you do you.
Turn
not
into,
what
like,
I would do.
Fucking feral dad mode, sprint out of this grocery store and in leaving the security entrance through the wrong way, just like smash aside the entire security apparatus and it like smashes to the floor and all the alarms go off in the grocery store.
Good. Set off the alarms. Get out. Everyone, get out here and save this kid.
I sprint into the parking lot. I catch the child for folks who are worried. I immediately catch him, like, before he is able to. It's also, like, a fairly quiet parking lot. Like, it was fine, but, like, pretty scary for me. I catch the child. A dad who witnessed, like, a grown man who is just, like, standing there watching it all happen, who's the only person who saw it, turns to me and he's like, sometimes you got to do that. He saw me. I think he thought I was cool because I like, but like now I've got this fucking Nunu and I'm like in the grocery store and like
and
all
you've
the
caused,
alarms
presumably
are
like
going off.
Thousands of dollars of damage.
There is fucking chaos. Like, and I'm looking at the barrier and I try to like put the barrier back together and it's just like completely smashed.
Yeah.
And the alarms are going off. People are like looking around.
It's the cart's fault. Why are they giving you these like giant carts? This is irresponsible of them.
Only this one guy who like said a cool thing to me like knows that I did it. I'm carrying the child back
in.
He's
gone
though.
He's not going
to
support you.
I'm like, so what we need to do now is like quietly, just like I guess we're going to continue shopping, but like hopefully they won't know it's us.
Wow.
Okay. Perfect. Unbelievable. Astonishing. At this point in the story, what are you? You're like on TikTok or something? What is it? Say your thing. Please.
Do we have a segment
astonishing
for...
at this part of the story? I mean, this is gonna like we're gonna get to break without even mentioning the movie, and that now is your fault.
You know what? Is your fault?
What?
I liked your story a lot and was engaged with it to the point that we talked about it for 20 fucking minutes.
But
on
you
our
did
Jane
it.
Austen
you,
podcast.
You kept. I don't. I like an engaged listener. I like an engaged.
And at some
listener.
Point, my mind started wandering away from your discussion of dad talk. By the way, that was dad talk.
I haven't finished the fucking story.
To the IMDb trivia page for the Jane Austen book club, the film we watched this week.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we should explain. Did we explain to the listeners why we're watching the Jane Austen book club and not reading Austenland?
I bring this child back into the grocery store, but at this point he's like agitated, and so he doesn't want.
Here's what I was. Here's what I was boggled by. Here's why I was on the trivia page, and here's why we had to stop down.
Tell me.
With 47 helpful upvotes, the real volume of the complete works of Jane Austen was more expensive than the production could afford to buy. Instead, a volume of Shakespeare plays with a fake cover was used.
Well, I'm excited. Never read anything by Jane Austen before.
What is it?
Well, I went to the bookstore to buy a copy of each one of the novels, and I saw this, and I thought, well, maybe they're all sequels. So then I figured it might be a good idea to keep them all together in one book in case I needed to refer back. Is this the order that we read them in?
Wow, that's surprising.
Hugh Dancy was reading these, and he says in the DVD commentary that he got all the way through the histories and tragedies during the shoot.
I bring the child back into the grocery store, and he is like agitated now and doesn't want to get into the car, but also does want to get into the car.
Strange bedfellows, by the way.
And I'm like, let's just be like super chill about it. And instead of listening to me, he just starts screaming at the top of his lungs, new car. And the alarm's going off. So I abandon the grocery cart, drive home with the child, leave the child at home, go back to the grocery store to face the music.
I would go to and a different grocery store.
Just because I'm like, I need to like fess up to this. And the coda on the story is that like I find my cart, like the alarm is still going off when I get back. I find my cart still full of my stuff. I like grab all of my groceries from it in both hands to put in a new cart.
Not a new cart.
Just like a normal person because I like cart. Don't want to be conspicuous anymore. Now I'm just like a dad. I would be just a dad driving around a new cart like
anonymous
with no child in it. And I don't want to get caught.
I guess that would raise an eyebrow for me. Like that guy chose the
So the, I take. Like, I've got them all. Cart. Like, it's like a full arm, two arms full of all my groceries. I like dump them into the new cart that I brought in, and then I look around and I see these two ladies who like are just staring at me, and I'm realizing that it's their grocery cart.
Was there anything in it?
Yeah, like a thing. Like that's what tipped me off. I was like, oh, I didn't.
Sorry, lady.
And then I'm like, oh no, I'm sorry. And I like grab it back out, like, and I drop something. The alarm's still going off.
Well, I guess the good
off.
News is that you can like this gives you an opportunity to find a Stop and Shop that has a robot.
Yeah,
to start
that's
shopping
a good
at
idea.
Instead.
Anyway, I fessed up to this like probably high like 19-year-old. I was like, hey, the reason the alarm's going off is me. And he's like, I do not know what you're talking about.
I smashed
like,
it.
Anyway, Nunu's fine, but we're going to keep him on a tighter leash from now on. This has been Dad Talk.
Dad Talk. Hello, everyone. Welcome to, I'm sorry that you had to endure a 25-minute dad talk because I actually do want to talk. I have a little bit of bookkeeping to discuss with you.
We said we were going to watch something else, to read a book, didn't we?
I have a few bits of bookkeeping to
do with you. You say your bookkeeping.
The first bit of bookkeeping is this.
Yeah.
I follow my sword. I come to you hat in hand.
That's going to be complicated if you're falling on your sword. You got a hat in one hand and then what? You're holding the sword with the other one? I'll make it work in my mind palace and then you just say the thing.
No, you got me fucked up now too though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like work on it. I'd figure out like a way to do it.
Yeah.
I know that's like a cop out.
Maybe
but, like,
you have
I
a second.
Here's
you have
what
a second
I would do.
Who's holding the sword. I've been watching.
Will you hold the sword for me?
Shogun. Yeah. I'm holding your sword. You're ready to fall. You've got your hat in your hand. Is it a fedora?
Sometimes we watch movies for the podcast.
Yeah.
Our
mostly these
podcasts.
Days. Yeah.
And I often expect that. So I think, okay, well. That frees me of any obligations for the podcast until I have to watch the movie at least one day before we record.
Got to.
And this week, we recorded our other show. We have lots of shows.
Patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. It's good. It's worth listening to. It's
you said, have you read the book? Which is something you say a lot when you mean, have you watched the movie?
Oh, really? I didn't realize I did that.
But this time, I kind of got the sense that what you meant was, have you read a book?
Yeah.
And I had not.
Suggestion. Yeah. Yeah. You had not read the book that you suggested.
And I said to you, no, I have not read a book.
And immediately followed that with, and I won't.
Yeah. And I shan't before
I shan't.
Tomorrow when we're supposed to record.
Yeah.
So I'm open to ideas.
Yeah.
Luckily, you came with an idea.
Yeah. Pretty good one, turns out.
And this idea has sort of shaken something loose in me.
Yeah.
And it's something I want to discuss with you, and it's why I think it's a little unfortunate we spent so much time on Dad Talk.
Okay, yeah.
Because you said, we were going to read a book called Austen Land, which is sort of a meta-narrative about Jane Austen.
It sounds fun. I started reading it. I stopped as soon as you said you hadn't read it. I stopped.
And wouldn't, yeah.
My
wife, we're
going to
read it. We're going to read it.
Already finished it. She was like, "Oh, you're doing it for the podcast? Great. I'll just like read it in a day."
I got two train rides. Tomorrow.
I feel like she should do the podcast.
She can come on.
Yeah.
Instead, we pivoted to a film.
Yeah.
Called The Jane Austen Book Club, which I absolutely loved, 2004.
Fucking slapped.
Or no, 2007.
A surprisingly fun.
A really good movie.
Yeah.
Essentially about us.
It's about us. It's what we are.
The opening scene is like a bunch of catty women, which is me and Jack.
Yeah.
Standing in line to see like a new the Jane Austen.
No, it's the Mansfield Park.
No, because
that we
they're
watched.
Talking about Mansfield Park.
But they see a poster for
they're
it.
They're talking about the like 99 Mansfield Park. And yeah. They're all talking about like, well, I thought it was odd that they made him like a plantation owner.
Yeah.
You know, parts of it were right from Jane Austen's life.
I love this movie.
Well, I like it, but it's not Mansfield Park. It's more of an interpretation. You know the book?
Yes, and I happen to teach film.
Oh. Do you like this movie?
No. Do you know what mixes up Fanny Price with the author of the book? Makes Sir Bertram some kind of slave owner.
Well, it means well. And a little Jane Austen's better than none at all.
No. That is how I talk myself into everything.
And Emily Blunt, who I'm going to make a case,
we
I guess, tag yourself.
Because this movie's jam-packed with... Well, both stars and nobodies.
But let's do tag yourself real quick, because tag yourself, because the Grig. one who's me.
I'm Grig.
You're Grig? That's not fair. You can't tag yourself as Grig, but you are Grig, I guess. Because Grig is like, great. But the one who's me, like, she's like, I did not like this. It was not enough like Mansfield Park. And I'm like, see, yeah. Thank you. Yes, thank you. That's what I said.
I loved it. I was like the... hot older lady. Oh, wait, that's the whole movie. Jane Austen Book Club is the name of the movie. Here's the bone I have to pick with you.
Okay.
We exist in a tide pool of content now. Mm-hmm. The Jane Austen tide pool of content.
Yeah. It's big. Their currents are strong.
It's huge. Yeah. And like the tide comes in every day.
Yeah.
Like no fail. And we're refreshed with like new plankton.
Yeah.
I wanted to.
Are we whales?
I don't think whales live in tide pools.
No,
I think
but
we're like hermit crabs.
Okay, and we like plankton.
Yeah, we need a fresh supply of food coming into the tide pool.
Got it.
With the tide every
day.
I'm
seeing it, yeah.
And you and I used to be in a tide pool called the Babysitter's Club tide pool.
Yeah, that was
and
good
we
one.
Left it, and we found a couple other tide pools, but they weren't very big or nice.
No.
But we seem to have found a nice big one now.
It's
and
big.
It seems like we have a lot
really
of room to explore.
Yeah, you can find a new little shell, but you're still in the same tide pool. That's a hermit crab reference. I'm expanding the metaphor.
What if we just did Jane Austen adaptations forever for the rest of the podcast?
Great.
I know you're already into that. Now you tell me the name that you've already pitched me for this idea. And we'll sort of like, I just, let me set you up and then I'm going to clear the
set
room.
Set me up. Clear the room.
Space.
Yeah, okay.
And let the, what are we calling them?
Baby Willoughbys.
The baby Willoughbys?
The Willoughbys.
The Willoughbys. Okay.
But that, it seems mean because Willoughby is like pretty bad. I like bees.
Iconic,
it's like
an iconic Austin. You know what? Yeah. Name an Austin character that's not bad.
Lizzie Bennett.
Name two.
Catherine Morland.
Okay, fine. Never mind. Anyway, I think we're doing a Jane Austen podcast now.
Yeah.
For better or for worse.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is all the Jane Austen adaptations, which honestly, we've already failed at the mission.
Mm-hmm.
Because this wasn't a Jane Austen adaptation.
No, it's adjacent. It's in the tide pool.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to step back and say... understanding that we're essentially doing a Jane Austen podcast.
Yeah.
And understanding that we may want to do a rebrand.
Yeah.
I'm like backing away now.
Yeah, yeah.
What should we call it?
Northanger Daddies.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Let's just recall the show.
Northanger Daddies.
Northanger Daddies, and we'll just do this until we die, think. It seems
like we
maybe can.
But it's good that I did dad talk at the beginning of this for like an
hour.
Oh,
yeah, set it up. Yeah.
Because it's daddies. Yeah. Sound off in the comments.
Yeah, to give us suggestions. But honestly, we've kind of been around the block on this, and Northanger Daddies feels like
it feels
fits us, right?
It's like pretty sexy, but not in a threatening way.
Yeah, and we're daddies.
Yeah.
My son calls me daddy.
I've been calling myself daddy since 5 to 6 years before I had a child.
Oh, yeah. And uncle.
Yeah.
Should we take a quick break and then come back and discuss the film?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's say this damn movie.
Here's the movie.
It's good. Folks, I liked it a lot.
It's like a movie of our podcast.
A lot. It's us. It's I'm Emily Blunt and you're Hugh Dancy.
Yeah. Greek.
You're Greek. I like Greg.
What a character.
A lot.
He's so good.
Yeah.
It's just like, let's talk about the movie. So it's a bunch of older ladies and younger ladies.
And, yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. Yeah. it's a range
it's
of
like
ages.
Three.
Of
it's
ladies.
Like one older lady, two middle aged ladies, and then like two young ladies.
Everybody looks great.
And then
and Greek.
More ladies and Greek.
Yeah.
One of the ladies, let's do Dramatis Personae.
This is
one
a
of the
hit segment. It's called Dramatis Personae.
Emily Blunt.
One of the ladies is from The Quiet Place.
Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, is she from Edge of Tomorrow? Good gracious. What a great movie that is. Is she also in Quiet
Any
Place?
Case for that? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why would I think of A Quiet Place when, which was fine.
Both good. I like both
Live,
movies,
Die, Repeat.
But Live, Die, Repeat. Edge
slash
of Tomorrow,
Edge
is,
of Tomorrow
like,
is one of the best movies. That one of the best movies. Full stop. Mm-hmm.
And she's in it.
And then Hugh Dancy is
Jimmy
in
Smith's.
It. I'd never heard of him before.
Emperor Palpatine. What a fucking embarrassing thing to say.
General Grievous.
Amidala.
Queen Amidala's in it. I think that's Natalie Portman.
Her father, Jimmy Smith's.
Oh, Jimmy Smith's is Queen Amidala's dad in. Phantom
What's his Man. Name?
I'm not sure that it, like, you need to say
it's important.
That guy's
Senator
name to establish-
Bail Organa. He's not Amidala's dad. He's Leia's dad.
Okay.
Senator Bail Organa.
Senator Bail Organa is in it. Riley's in it.
Honestly, this is the next film he did after Star Wars Episode
wow.
3.
He's got that heat on him.
Yeah. People are like, wow. Oh my God. Senator Bail Organa's in the film? Of course I'm going to go see it.
We're going to get the Austin people. We're going to get the Jar Jar people. Like, can't fucking go wrong.
The lady from Lost?
Riley's in it.
Who's Riley?
Oh, yeah, of course. You have no idea who fucking Riley is. And it raises an interesting question. And I'll say it now since we're in
the
dramatic
question.
It's
the question, who's Riley? Because I did just
It's not the question, who's
question.
Riley? Everybody fucking, except you, knows who Riley is. At the 17-minute mark, I think this is when Hugh Dancy, Grig, is first introduced. One of the ladies meets him and says,
"We heard from the Buffy conference?"
And they're like at a conference space. And it's like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer conference is happening. And that's how they meet.
Hugh Dancy's?
That's how the lady meets Hugh Dancy. It's at a Buffy conference.
Okay.
That's interesting because Riley.
What lady? And who's Riley?
The blonde one.
Okay.
It's interesting and it's a paradox because Riley is in the movie. He's the boyfriend of girl from... Edge of Tomorrow.
Okay. I know who you're talking about.
Riley
he's like
Buffy's boyfriend who's not
like
Angel.
The me character of the movie where he's like,
yeah, he's like, what is happening?
You want me to
basketball?
Like, I just want to play FIFA. You want me to read Jane Austen?
Yeah.
Pretty. I feel like you want me to be something that I'm not. I just walk around being me. I don't pretend to be anything else. I'm the guy who thinks Austin's a city in Texas.
Shouldn't have said that. That was mean.
You just set me up for a test that you don't want me to pass.
No. This is not a test. This is something to share.
Well, why don't you just tell me what it's about?
And Emily Blunt is like, yes, for the sake of our relationship, I need you to read Jane Austen. And he does, and he fucking loves it.
He loves
just
it.
Like me.
Just like you. Yeah, yeah. He's the you. But in Buffy, he's Riley, who's like Buffy's boyfriend in season 5. And season 4.
Think back.
Anyway, that's Riley, but I just want to like stop down on the paradox where it's like, if one of the guys from the show is in the movie, can you have a Buffy conference in
the
movie?
Well, we already watched, didn't we watch Ocean's 13 for this or whatever?
No.
Did I just, watched that.
I think
you
just watched that.
Yeah. That's a big plot point of Ocean's 13.
Okay.
Is that they get the character who looks like Julia Roberts to pretend to be Julia Roberts, who's played by Julia Roberts.
Oh, God, that's confusing. Yeah, no, so that's what this is. Anyway, yeah. I thought that was interesting. Anyone else we need to say? Hugh Dancy sounds like Darcy. Is there something there?
Hugh Dancy Grieg. How come he's not in more movies?
He's great. Well, we should say what the movie's about, because we're like almost 40 minutes in.
Oh, I'm actually looking at his Wikipedia page. Turns out he's in quite a few movies.
I think he's beloved. Anyway, let's say what it is. These girls are mostly friends, but some of them not. And they decide to have a book club about Jane Austen. And you know what? This may be controversial. It's a surprisingly good book club. Like, they're saying like real thoughts about Jane Austen in their
like
meetings.
Us.
Where's the heat between Emma and Mr. Knightley? There's no animal passion. Look at Frank Churchill and Miss Fairfax. You can tell they're really in love because they behave so badly.
And that's good?
Emma and Mr. Knightley, you just never feel the sex.
Still, I think Mr. Knightley's very yummy, don't you? He may be my favorite of all the Austen men.
Sans passion, l'amour n'est rien. That's not Jane's theme, is it?
That's cozy.
What we're meant to see is not the lack of passion so much as the control of it and the not giving in.
Après-moi le déluge.
Like us. It's like us. They're saying stuff that's like, oh, this is good. It annoys me a little bit because like most of their conversation is like, they'll have a meeting about Northanger Abbey and then they'll be like, well, Jane does this in Mansfield Park. And it's like, fucking stick to the fucking text.
Yeah.
Like their discussion is always like about all her books and it's like, no, stick to the text.
Who
There's
are you?
In a screen text. Yeah.
Did you buy the like compendium?
Yeah,
like,
Grig buys
leather
the
bound.
What does that even mean? They can't afford, like, how much is Grig getting? How much is Hugh Dancy getting paid? Like, you can't afford, like, a complete works of Jane Austen.
A real volume of the complete works of Jane Austen was more expensive than the production could afford to buy.
What would that
Let's
cost?
Go. Let's go.
It's going to be, like, $200. They can't
of
be right.
Jane Austen.
We should say the different
Leatherbound. You do that. Like, I'm going to look up the price on this.
Something that the movie does that I appreciate, there's not, like, a one-to-one. Like, some of the women in the Jane Austen book club are clearly Jane Austen characters. Like, Emily Blunt is 1,000% Fanny Price.
Yeah, that's why I think... I agree. I think everyone is meant to be...
But no, it's not a one-to-one.
No, I think everyone is meant to be somebody. And I think that's the only... And here's... I'm gonna urge you to be careful.
Okay, fine.
Because I think it's the only cover we have for doing this on our new Jane Austen adaptation podcast.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I guess they're all... It's like, what if all the Jane Austen books happened at once? But it's not, because who's Northanger Abbey?
I don't think any... Well, Northanger Abbey would have to be Grieg.
It would have to be
Because it's his book.
Okay.
So a plot point in this book... If you haven't watched the film, you should. It's really fun.
It's fun. I thought it was fun.
A plot point is that there are five members of the group. Six?
I guess it must be six, because they're each responsible for one of the novels.
And each person is responsible for, like, maintaining the conversation about one of the novels.
But they're
and
all going through
they
shit.
They decide... Yes, they're all... These are all, like, single ladies. Well, not one of them. One of them is... The lady from Lost is a young lesbian who's always getting into, like, tricky lesbian relationships.
Well, and you know that the lesbian relationship she gets into is a bad art friend situation.
Excuse me?
Please, Tanner. Please. Please. Please, I'm begging you. I'm fucking begging you. As someone else who's like, you're on the internet, you read the whole internet. That's what we used to do for a living, and we still do it out of fucking muscle memory. Please do not make me explain bad art friend to you. Please. I'm begging you. Okay. He's pulled up it's $20.74 for the complete novels of Jane Austen.
Leatherbound.
So that's interesting. They couldn't afford it, huh? Huh.
That's a tough one.
It's a bad art friend situation.
Okay, explain.
I can't. I said I won't.
Okay.
The lesbian, the lover, I shouldn't say, I don't need to keep qualifying it. The lover of the youngest girl in the Jane Austen book.
Who is from Lost.
Who is from Lost.
Who the show that you got your name from.
Seems like a nice lover until it turns out that she is stealing all of her, like, juicy stories about her life and, like, publishing them as short stories.
Dear Ms. Corinne Mayhern, we regret that we must decline to publish the three short stories you sent us. We confess that Skydiver puzzled us most. Why would a beautiful, self-centered young lesbian jump out of a plane?
Yeah.
Including one story, which we will not relay on this, but it's like, it's such a specific story.
Relay it.
It's such a specific story that has, like, no relevance to anything else except just being a story that it's like, where did this come from? Like, where did this story come from? It's like, has no relevance to the movie. It's like a very intense and, like, pretty dark story.
Yeah, she, like, finds it. She, like, finds it crumpled up in the trash can?
Well, so the Jane Austen book club member tells the story about herself to her lover and then later finds that story, like, written up as, like, for notes for one of her short stories.
Yep, it's like,
oh, you're using me. Much like Bad Art Friend, which I will not talk about. I will not be dragged into.
It's
Twitter
shit?
From 2 years ago. I can't.
I'm not
going to. You know it or you don't. And also don't.
Yeah. I disengage with
it. It's one of those things where I was like, all right, I'll read the whole... It was like 2 years ago. I was like, I'll read the whole backstory. And then afterwards, I was like, why did I do that? I don't care about either of these people.
So which Austen character is the lady from Lost?
My claim is that there's not a one-to-one.
My claim is there is, and it's your responsibility to find it as the Austen scholar. Her name is Maggie Grace. Her character's name is Allegra.
All right, well, let's say who do we have? We've got Emily Blunt is Fanny Price. No question. She's like, she's like a square, but she's got like a moral backbone, which is basically what Fanny Price is. Which, by the way, you wouldn't fucking know if you'd only watched the 1999 Mansfield Park. You would not know what Fanny Price is like if you'd only watched the movie.
You know, you sound like Emily Blunt in this fucking movie.
Yeah, that's me. Tag yourself. That's me. 100%. I wish I was Greg. I wish I were Greg.
The attractive Greg. Older blonde lady that you were talking about earlier is most famous for being in Coyote Ugly.
Okay, I saw that actually. It's pretty good.
We went there.
Oh yeah, we went there. Yeah.
The bar that was Coyote Ugly.
Yeah, we went.
Was there. In the East Village in New York, and we used to go there, and it was just a bar.
Mm-hmm. And people would do body shots off of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that lady is.
So she's the one that is, she's kind of the main character. She's the one that Grig is interested in, but she thinks that she is too old for Grig.
She's Emma because she's setting everyone up. She's constantly setting everyone up.
She's the one who gets set up at the end.
Yeah.
And she's so, you know what? She is Emma because she's so self-confident and so self-assured, and it really takes Grig breaking her down and making her read Ursula Le Guin for her to finally like...
Folks, if you're not sold on this, the subplot is that Grig, who seems like he's like the bro and he wears like bicycle shorts and
everyone thinks he's like an idiot because he's never read Jane Austen.
He's like, what is this? Jane who? He reads it. He ends up really loving it. And he keeps the whole time, like literally the main plot of this movie is like Grig is trying to get that lady to read Left Hand of Darkness.
Ugly.
No. Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to get Coyote Ugly to read Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula Le Guin, which is a very sweet thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, I won't do it. I won't read sci-fi. Which is like, I don't know, what's going on with you? You're like a big, like,
what
fucking
do you mean?
Like, yeah, you're like a you massive like a Jane head. You're like a huge Jane head. Probably studied like English literature at like, you know, fucking Oberlin. And then you're like, but I will never read Ursula Le Guin.
There's this older lady called Bernadette, who's sort of the ringleader. Who do we think she is? Kind of the mother hen of the group. She actually honestly looks exactly like my neighbor Amy, so maybe it's her. Okay.
Can we get her on?
I could text her. Mostly I text her to ask if there's like, Amy, tomorrow's Memorial Day. Do you know if there's trash? And she's like, nope. Tuesday
you don't have an
week.
App?
I just ask Amy. Why would I need an app? I ask Amy.
Here's what you should do. Create an app for
your
neighborhood.
I have a kindly, like, old widow next door.
I'm sure she loves telling you whether there's trash. Yeah. There's I bet Amy has an app. She's like, fine, I'll check my app. What is it with this dude? He like
a few times
a
she's
phone.
Been like, you can just leave Miles here if you want. It's like, I know all you would want is to like, hey, all you think you want is to hang out with this 5-year-old, but I promise you, you do not want that.
Yeah, it sucks.
He's going to roll you over, lady.
She sounds nice. Okay, she's so great. Your neighbor Amy is an older lady, and you're saying we have to fit them. Like, okay,
we have to
make them be an Austen character. Okay, what does she do? So she's like kind of
she's
self-assured
sort of the
ringleader of the group.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And
she's old enough to like not be bogged down in all of this like drama. You know?
Yeah.
You know who she is. She's a little bit like that uncle from
Sensibility.
What did we just read? From Northanger.
She's like Mr. Allen.
Yeah.
So you think she's Mr. Allen?
A little bit.
I'm not. I bet like that that's not what she thought when she went into this.
Okay, who do you think she is then? Hot shot?
It's like, oh, we've got a Fanny Price, we've got a Lizzie Bennett, we've got an Emma, and I'm kind of like the Mr. Allen of the group.
That's cool. I would like to be the Mr. Allen. What's her book? Do you remember? I think hers is probably, Bernadette is her name. I think her book is Pride and Prejudice.
So who is she? Is she's Lizzie? No, there's no one. Maybe she's Jane.
Oh, she's Jane. That's
no,
good.
She's too like worldly wise to be Jane. She can't be
she's
Jane.
She needs to be like a little bit like of an elder statesman character.
Well, and she like her
maybe her
arc
book
is that she's happily single. And then like at the in the like epilogue, she went to South America somewhere and found like a cool Latin lover.
Eleanor Dashwood?
No, she's not. She's Mr. Allen or Bust.
Yeah, she's Mr. Allen.
Yeah, fine. Grig is Catherine. So we've got Catherine. We've got Fanny. We've got Emma. We got Mr. Allen, of course. We need a Lizzie. We need a Anne from Persuasion.
Which one's Persuasion? Oh, God, that was the terrible Netflix movie.
They did a bad one on Netflix, and that's...
I haven't read the book.
Yeah. Anne is, like, pretty sad.
Anne Elliot. Yeah, she's... Well, she Deadpools a lot.
No, only Deadpooling? In the bad movie.
Okay, so then there's the other one is...
Okay, main character in this movie, who we haven't mentioned yet, is she's getting divorced.
Senator Bail Organa's...
Wife.
Cheated on wife.
So it's the film starts with Senator Bail Organa cheating on his wife.
Yes.
And he's like, hey, I've been cheating on you for 6 months. We have to have a divorce. And so then she's in the Jane Austen book club.
The
and
character's
a lot
name
of,
is Sylvia. The actress's name is Amy Brenneman.
Great. She was good in the film. A lot of the movie is about her friends trying to like fix her life, especially the Emma character who's trying to set her up with Grig, even though Grig is right for Emma.
Connecticut native, by the way.
Yeah.
Amy Brenneman. New and London. Represent.
What's her thing? Her arc, and I guess this will now fully spoil the film, so I guess pause the podcast if you want to go watch it and care about spoilers, but her arc is that she gets back together with Senator Bail Organa.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. And by the way, Bail Organa and
it's
she
kind of nice.
Are
one doesn't
the
move for him.
Lesbian
frankly.
From Lost's parents.
Correct. Yeah.
We should mention.
Yeah. Whew. But who's
that's
she?
A lot.
Who's she?
Who's who?
You say who she is.
Who's who?
Senator Bail Organa's wife.
Oh, from Jane Austen.
Yeah. Who's she gonna be? Who are you gonna have her be? Oh, she's Anne. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Who do we still have?
I'll tell you why she's in.
Persuasion.
Let me tell you why. It's Persuasion. It's because the plot of Persuasion is that she once had it right with Captain Wentworth, but then like missed the chance. And then it's them in the twilight of their life, which for Jane Austen was like, she's 35, you know? And it's like, she has a second chance at love with the same guy. Which is kind of what happens with Jimmy Smith. She has a second chance at love.
Right.
With the same guy.
Does Anne in Persuasion reject the proposal of someone else because she's still in love with Wentworth?
Do you want a spoiler for Persuasion? I guess you've seen the movie. She rejects the proposal of Wentworth. Not the proposal, but she rejects the match because
but doesn't there
she
someone
is
else who proposes to
her? Persuaded that it's not a good match. Persuaded.
I thought someone else proposed to her.
Persuasion.
Other than Wentworth.
No, she's like basically a spinster. She's like in her like mid-30s.
Okay,
there's no
one like
who would consider proposing to her. There's nothing left for her.
Well, doesn't that sound like the old lady? My neighbor, Amy?
No, because no, you're no, 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 absolutely not. No, that ain't it. Maybe.
I think the old lady, my neighbor, Amy, is Eleanor Dashwood. She like holds on to the group's secrets the same way that Eleanor Dashwood holds on to.
And she just like takes their emotional baggage. That's a good, that's good. She's yeah. Eleanor. Yeah. Okay. I like it. Yeah. Maybe she's Eleanor and Marianne because she's got like a little bit of sensibility.
I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone's really dove that deep into the 2007 film Jane Austen Book Club before?
I don't think so.
Maybe we should have the author, Karen Joy, on the show. She can tell us what she was thinking.
Okay, let's do that, because there's a book. And so we could read the book for another episode and have the author on. And she'll be like, oh, wow. I wrote this a while ago. I've like really moved on with my life.
We're just grilling her. Who is Roxanne?
Yeah. Which
there's
one
no character
is Anne?
Named Roxanne. All right, what else do we have to discuss?
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left. We can do a quick kill count.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did anyone die?
It's our hit segment. It's called Kill Count. It's when we say how many people got fucking murked.
Okay.
And it's 2. There's a dog funeral early on.
Okay, there is a dog funeral. And then an old lady does die.
Yeah. And
Emily Blunt's mother.
I don't want to scare people off from watching this movie. There's no dog that you know that dies.
No,
there's
it's
just like
an off-screen dog.
A funeral that you think is a funeral for a guy. And then it turns out it's for a dog.
Oh, and I just realized, no wonder Emily Blunt is hurting so much in this movie, because it's her mom's dog.
Yeah.
And then her mom dies. So it's like the time that Theodore Roosevelt's like mom and wife died, and he wrote in like his diary, like, the light in my life has gone out. That is Emily Blunt.
That's her. Well, and her plot, which is like pretty steamy, is that she's a school teacher and is...
Oh, she's so hot for this like hunk
so
of a
so
like,
hot for this high hunky school boy senior. And yep. It's like scandalous.
She's got a pretty hunky boyfriend too. He's like a werewolf or whatever.
And there's this whole thing where it's like they're going to have a liaison, like will they, won't they? She like books a motel room.
Instead, she convinces her werewolf boyfriend to put down the FIFA, pick up some Jane Austen and join the book club.
And he's like, this is great.
He becomes a real corn dog about it. Like at the end, he's like, hey, that guy hasn't read Jane Austen. It's like, all right, cool. Cool it, buddy.
Yeah, it's always like the, what is it, like the zeal of the converted. It's like, all right, dude, we've been Jane heads for like 20 fucking years, dude.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Get on board.
It's a real Seven Samurai vibe. I thought that would appeal to you when I wrote that down. Yeah. It starts off with them being like, it's just like one of them. And then it's like, we need like six other people to be in the fucking Jane Austen book.
And honestly, they find some people who they're like, I don't know if this guy has what it takes to be Jane Austen book club material, but he proves himself.
I mean, Greg.
Worthy.
We're talking about Greg, right?
Well, I think Greg and ultimately the guy from Buffy too.
Oh yeah, Riley ends up being pretty
and Bail Organa.
Bail Organa. Yeah, he's like, can I read one?
God, this is the story of our podcast in so many ways, because it's like both the story of like a Jane Austen book club, which our podcast is now, but also the story of like middle-aged men invading this space for women. Because by the end, the book club has really bloomed to include pretty much everyone.
Yeah, everybody's in the
and
book club.
And Greg convinces, well, Coyote Ugly finally reads Ursula
Left Hand of Darkness. And she's like, this is very good.
Really
Greg's
good
like,
book.
I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah. There's sort of, before we go, I will say there's sort of like a deep-seated incestual undercurrent with Greg that I don't really want to explore because I like him as a character.
Okay.
But he is attracted to older women, and it's sort of explained that he's attracted to older women because he has
so
three
many
older
sisters,
which he mentions about 1,000 times.
Yeah, it's a little weird. When you put it that way, it's weird.
Yeah.
But that's fine. He looks cool. He's always carrying one of his bike wheels.
Yeah, he's always biking around. Yeah, he's a cool guy.
I like Greg. Great. Kill count is 2. We don't need to do an M elimination. We said basically the whole movie.
Well, I don't know. Here's what I wanted to discuss with you. And maybe we can just, I don't think it's not our responsibility to discuss it this week because this is the first meta text that we've read.
Right.
So maybe we should start ranking these meta texts too.
Okay.
But right now, this is the standard.
I think here's how we could do it if we wanted to, is we could be like, one clear analog is Emily Blunt's story is Fanny Price in this. There's no question. That's the one that's just like totally clean.
I don't think you can make that call. It's not your responsibility as the viewer to tell everyone how to consume the art.
Emily Blunt's arc in this is very much Mansfield Park. And so we could eliminate Emily Blunt's
portion of
this story from our Mansfield Park, which would be nice because I would love to just like kick to the can the 1999 Mansfield Park in M elimination.
No,
and
absolutely
like,
not.
What
I can't
I replace
let you do
it
that.
With is like just the arc of Emily Blunt.
I can't
character.
Let you do that. That's absurd. I think there is a new category, which we can be a little looser on, maybe a little bit more like academic about, which is the meta text, which is like films and books about Jane Austen.
Yeah.
Now, can I offer you something?
Yeah, please.
I want to go a little bit. I don't want to go too left field. Like,
okay,
I'm sort of like feeling out the territory of like a Clueless.
Yeah. Well, Clueless is good.
But
yeah.
Do we want to push that even further? Is there something else we could do?
Well, we could do From Prada to Nada.
Ooh, tell me more.
From Prada to Nada is a Clueless of Sense and Sensibility.
That's what I want.
Okay. I don't, it's like, it's got pretty mixed reviews.
That's okay. That's what I want. Okay. I want right. From Prada to Nada. Everyone, this is the newly rebranded podcast, Northanger Daddies. It's a Jane Austen adaptation podcast. And our inaugural episode is From Prada to Nada.
Okay, perfect. All right, folks, that's all I have, the time we have for today. I would like to thank everybody for listening. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, for bearing with me. I would You're like welcome. To remind people, thank you to everybody who has signed up for our Patreon. We really appreciate you. It helps to keep the show going. And we would strongly encourage folks who haven't got around to it yet. Now is a great time. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. And we're having a ton of fun in there. You get a whole other show. It's only $5 a month. And we're very grateful for everybody who takes a plunge. And nobody has ever regretted it. It's fun in there.
Banger Hathaway parody song the other day.
We do parody songs.
What is love?
We're talking about My So-Called Life. We're talking about
Brian Krakow. I don't know if any of you remember My So-Called Life, but Brian Krakow just had
the wildest
episode. Yeah. And if you're not listening to the podcast, you got to get in it. At least listen to this Brian Krakow one, because it was like life-changing for me.
It's tough to get through. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we did it, and we do it with you, and we appreciate you for signing up. Everybody, join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook, and everybody in there, everybody is good and nice, which is a rare combo, but and especially when it's everybody. And rate and review the show and hit subscribe.
Yeah.
Advertisers are like, who's subscribing? And we're like, well, not everyone.
Yeah, no, not many people.
So it helps us if you do subscribe to the show.
Yeah.
Guess what else? This week we watched a film. The film we watched was called The Jane Austen Book Club. Nuna's fine. Everybody, Nuna's fine. We're keeping a tighter leash on him.
Yeah, I would. Literally a leash, maybe.
Sarah's been looking up leashes.
Yeah.
Sarah looked up leashes on like Amazon, and like all the reviews are either people being like, why would you keep your baby on a leash? And then the reviews of people who are like, I've got a runner. Like, I need this. Can you make it stronger?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll keep you posted on that.
Maybe this is a value prop that we're seeing hole in the market.
We could sell some baby leashes on this thing.
Yeah, stronger baby leashes. From
Nuna's
the two guys
fine.
Who brought you Dad Talk.
You're fine. Everything's fine. This week we watched a film that's called The Jane Austen Book Club. We said we were going to read Austen Land. We still are, but we're going to take a couple weeks to do it. So everybody has time to read along if they like to. In the meantime, next week, we're going to be watching a little film called From Prada to Nada.
I love it.
Yeah. This has been Northanger Daddies, I guess. Right? Wait, sound off in the comments if you like that.
This is Northanger Daddies. I'm Daddy Tanner.
I'm Daddy Jack.
Yeah.
And all that remains is for me to say, hack the planet.
That's right.
We might be childhood friends and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose. But I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
No, no car.
Be merry!